Before I jump into this relationship series part two, I want to introduce you to three relationships my wife and I made this past week. Some of you may know and some of you may not know that we launched this church about 13 months ago. We did it with the help of ARC, which is the Association of Related Churches. And we love the ARC because the ARC is a phenomenal ministry that is birthing. It's done national. They've planted. We're on pace to plant over 900 churches year to date. Not year to date, sorry. That's really big. Over their lifespan. And so there's going to be another 35 churches that are planting this year. And anyone who gives as a part of Live Church, you are putting in to helping other churches plant. And I want to introduce you to three of the ones that we got introduced to. Art called my wife and I up and said, would you come down and invest in some future church planters? Because we love what's happening at Live Church. And so this is Matt and Jess, all the way to the left, and in January of 2021, they are going to be planting the Pines Church in Bangor, Maine. Come on, how many of y'all know New England needs some more churches? Per capita, New England has the least amount of Christians in their area, and so we are going to be a part of coaching them. And also, this is Mike and Amy Herzog. They are planting in September of this year in Hunt Valley, Maryland. So some of y'all know that's just a little north of Baltimore, and we're so excited about that. And then this is Greg and Debo, and they are planting Impact Church in North Chicago, Illinois. And it's just going to be so cool, and that's in September as well. So I want to ask you guys, would you put these guys in your prayers? Whether you snap a picture of them or you just, you know, take a mental picture, I want to be praying for these three churches that they make an impact where they go. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's going to be good, and I love that the Lord wants to use us to not just influence our city here, but to influence everywhere that we can and to extend our influence. Amen. So as we jump back into this relationship series, last week I started week one, and if you didn't get a chance to hear it, I encourage you, we have an audio podcast that you can go get or our YouTube channel where you can watch the video. But let me set up the premise of what I shared with you last week because it sets the stage for all 6 weeks of this relationship series. If we're going to get it right, we got to stand on this one principle, and that is this: that God gathers the way I revere him by the way I treat them. See, God is actually watching, and he's paying attention to how we treat others. And I know this is the confessions of a transparent pastor up here. I don't know about you, but the last week during the 7 days, I had some reflection of times where things weren't going the right way relationally, and I had to stop and say, hold up, God gathers the way I revere him by the way I treat them. I need to regroup, I need to reset, and I need to speak to the Christ in my neighbor. Anybody else, or was that just me struggling this week? Come on. And so, we have to get this right, and this is the start to getting things right, is to understand the reverence for him matters on the way I treat them, but it doesn't mean that we'll be perfect in our relationships, and so we have to keep going when it comes to relationships. Now, I want to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 29. If you got your Bible, open up Genesis 29. If you're in a smart version, I'll be in the New Living Translation. And I really think they should have changed the heading of this section to "Even people in the Bible have jacked up relationships too." I know that's wordy, but that should have been the title. This is a subheading for this portion of Scripture. You're going to see that as you read this, some of you are going to be affirmed that maybe I'm not all that bad. They've got it worse off than me. They're more screwed up than me. And sometimes that's just affirming. Can I get an amen? Genesis 29, it says this in verse 16. It says, now Laban had two daughters. Maybe that's where he went wrong because he's about to get it all wrong. Laban had two daughters, and the older daughter was named Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. Now, there was no sparkle in Leah's eyes. Wow, that's one way to describe a lady. But Rachel had a beautiful figure, Oh, and a lovely face. You can tell a man wrote this portion of scripture right here. You know, I was paying attention to, I meant her face was nice. Yeah. And he says, verse 18, since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, I'll work for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife. And it goes on to say, agreed, Laban replied. I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay and work with me. So Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel. But his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Can I get a collective from all the females, a collective? Aww. Come on, yeah. Girl, I worked 7 years for you, but it felt like 2 minutes. You know, I was just focusing on your face, and it was awesome. I could not wait for the day to marry you. It felt like 2 hours at best. And she said, oh, you're talking about me. Verse 21, finally the time came to marry her. He's like, amen, I have fulfilled my agreement. Now give my wife to me so I can sleep with her. And he says, so Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood and prepared a wedding feast. I think what it doesn't say is it was a long wedding feast. It was a big wedding feast. It was a fantastic one, because it wasn't until that night when it was dark that Laban finally brought Jacob's wife to him, Leah. He brought Leah to her at night. And he slept with her. Now, how many of you know that at this point, the hope for relationships is starting to decrease, right? Jacob's future is starting to fall apart. Can you imagine Rachel like, how'd you not know it wasn't me? We're going to have a conversation. How'd you not know? See, I think that Jacob gets a little bit messed up by the timing. In fact, one of the things, I've asked that question before, how in the world did he not know it was Rachel? You an idiot, right? That's what you want to say. You a fool. Or the Christian way of saying is, oh, bless his heart. Oh, bless his heart. He slept with the older sister instead of younger. Bless his heart. That's a fancy Christian way of saying, you idiot. Can you imagine all of his friends? Oh, you slept with Leah instead of Rachel? Bless your heart, right? And so I wonder, how'd you get this so wrong? And it was the culture that the bride would wear a veil until the wedding night. And also, I think Laban made it a really long event so that it wasn't but pitch black whenever he would bring the bride to him. See, that electricity was just around the corner, but it wasn't created just yet. And so he's meeting his wife in the middle of the night. She's bailed. He's like, I messed up. Verse 25. When Jacob woke up in the morning, he said, it was Leah. What have you done to me? Jacob went to Laban in rage. You're killing me, bro. I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me? And Laban says, it's not our custom here to marry off a younger daughter ahead of the firstborn. But wait until the bridal week is over, then I'll give you Rachel too, provided you promise to work another 7 years for me. So Jacob agreed to work 7 more years. He had a fantastic relationship with his father-in-law from this point forward. That's what I think the text wanted to say, right? A week after Jacob married Leah, Laban gave him Rachel too. And how many of you know that this brother did not live happily ever after? He was at this point literally married to sister wives, and they made a reality show about it. See, every relationship in this text is falling apart. You've got to have Jacob saying to Laban, you are killing me, bro. Like, what are you doing bringing Leah to me after I've worked 7 years? You got Laban saying to Jacob, you're killing me. My older daughter's got to be married first. You should have known that. We got to get this right. You got Jacob saying to Leah in the morning, oh my goodness, you're killing me, girl. I would be in so much trouble with my girl. Not that you're not my girl now. You my girl too, but I'm trying to figure this thing out. See, I'm so confused. That's what he's saying. I'm so confused. And then you got, can you imagine how Rachel talk to her daddy after this one? Daddy, you are killing me. It's my man. He was thinking about me, and you're going to go bring my older sister and bring her to him. Hey, you killing me. See, this is what I wrote down, and I want you to write it down too, is that when what you expect differs from what you get, emotions get wrecked. Every single time. I think the Bible does almost an injustice at taking the emotions out of it. Put the emotions back into it. How do you feel if you're Rachel? How do you feel if you're Leah? How do you feel if you're Jacob? How do you feel if you're Laban? See, when what you expect differs from what you get, emotions in the middle get wrecked every single time. And so I entitled the second sermon of You're Killing Me, Why Can't We Just Do Things My Way? Relationships would be so much better if we could just do things my way. Why don't we all just go along with that, right? That's how we oftentimes feel. See, I want my wife to come join me real quick. And we've all had this feeling of frustration and struggle. And when I think about Jacob and Laban, I think about a relationship going on. And they've got a disconnect from what I was expecting to get and what I'm actually getting. And so oftentimes when frustrations and things like that happen, it looks like this. I want to illustrate that. I know this is hard to imagine, but picture with me for just a moment that somehow I didn't measure up to her expectations. I know that's difficult to imagine, all right, but I need you to think with me, right? Put your thinking caps on, that somehow I fell short of what she's expecting of me. It leaves her feeling like you're killing me. Go ahead and illustrate how you're feeling. Come on. Oh, yeah. Come on. You release it all. Get it all out of you. Not that tight. No, I'm just And what she's screaming is just like, I blame you. And the response is, well, I blame you.
Why can't you do it my way?
Yeah, why can't you do it my way? You can't do it. She threatened you. We're going to have to end this illustration early today, right? And so it's like, hey, listen to me. And she's screaming back, listen to me. And this is often how our relationships feel, where it's like, you're killing me. Yeah, but you're killing me too at the same time. And we're both struggling for that. Would y'all give it up for my wife? Come on. What is going on in our relationships is we're strangling each other. Now, some of y'all are less overt, but you know exactly how it feels. If I can get my hands around their neck, I'll tell you what. I can wring their neck. Some of you straight up go up and say, you're killing me, right? And you just put that pizzazz on it and make it all fun, right? Others just keep it all silent inside. You're bottled up inside and you're like, it's a disconnect. What is that disconnect? James chapter 4 illustrates so well the practical thing that's going on. In James chapter 4, it says this. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way. Come on. I'm trying to set some people free right here. That these quarrels are happening because I want my way. No, I want my way. No, you're killing me. You listen to my way. No, you're killing me. You listen to my way. Well, this quarrel is happening because everyone is focusing on your own way. A fight for it is deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have, and you're willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. This is what James is saying so well, that when what you expect differs from what you get, our emotions get wrecked every time. It's like a rubber band. When they line up, when our expectations and what I'm getting, my reality come together, oh, there's peace and harmony, right? You've heard happy wife, happy life. That's because she's getting what she's expecting to get, right? Y'all do things my way. As long as we do things my way, that happens, right? But when what I expect starts separating from what I get, oh, there's tension. There's a lot of tension going on in this situation. And if it keeps going, it's going to break. In fact, to illustrate it even further, if this is what I expect and if this is what I get, as long as the two come together. Come on, this confuses me every time. How am I going to do this? Yeah, like that and then like that. Okay, there we go. Cool. As long as what I expect and what I get come together, everything's nice. But whenever my expectations start to differ from what I'm actually getting, there kind of becomes my emotions getting a little You're going to do things my way? Oh, see, the angry face. Oh, my emotions. Oh, something's going to break. Oh, it broke way too early. But this is what happens when our expectations start getting stretched so far from my reality. I am so frustrated right now that I'm doing a shaking one right now. You start going, what's going on with her? What's going on with him? There seems to be like some sort of disconnect. And the problem that James says is because you're each trying to get your own way. The expectations. We got to find a way to bring our expectations back to reality. The angry face goes away. Everyone's happy. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I want you to be happy. It first starts with understanding I got to give up my own way. I've got to understand that there is a fight going on the inside. I wrote this down, that the wider the gap, the greater the snap. See, whenever my relationships start stretching so far, the further and further that this gap gets, the more and more it's going to hurt if this thing breaks. And so I've got to find a way to bring my expectations back to my reality. And it starts with understanding that I've been fighting for my own way. I'm expecting way out here, and I'm getting way out here, and it's starting to get on me. I've got to bring this thing back together. So here's your homework throughout the week. I want you to pay attention to the next time you're getting frustrated this week. I want you to ask, what is the disconnect from what I am expecting to get from what I am actually getting? Where's this frustration coming from? I wrote it down further down, and I'll read it again later on. But this is what Gary Smalley says. When anger is stripped down to its deepest level, there's a common theme. It's unfulfilled expectations. I was hoping for this, and I'm getting this. And that's what happens all the time. We're all dealing with unfulfilled expectations. And then anger comes out, frustration comes out, discouragement comes out, bottling it up comes out. Did you know that angry is not even a primary emotion? It's a response to, I'm feeling fear right now because I was believing this and I'm getting this. I thought you and I were getting closer, but it seems like we're getting further, and I fear, and so anger comes out, or frustration, or I'm hurting right now because I thought you were going to and you didn't live up to it. See, we got to understand that frustration is not receiving what we had expected from other people or from circumstances. I thought it was your night to do the dishes. Okay, I'll do it again. Praise God. You know, next night, I thought if I cooked, you were doing the dishes. See, what I'm expecting and what I'm getting, not lining up. And so I'm wearing this smile as long as I can to make sure I show you I revere him, but I'm starting to get frustrated with them. You know what I'm saying? I thought you were going to clean your room by 6 o'clock. I thought you said you were coming on time to work for once. I thought you said you were picking me up a coffee on the way in. I didn't get what I expected, and right? I'm getting some issues here. See, frustration is not receiving what we had expected from other people or from circumstances. Frustration builds. It doesn't even have to be a relationship. I was having a relationship with technology that got me all frustrated. On Monday, we were flying out to Orlando for that picture that I was talking about. And so my wife and I are on the in the plane. And so, you know, I was trying to spend some time with God as I was sermon prepping. And so I put on my headphones. I'm having a moment with God. God and I are clicking. And God's speaking some things. I'm like, oh, that's so good. I'm writing this stuff down. I'm dinosaur hands in it because I'm in the middle seat. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. That little puny table that comes out only when they let me take it out. And I normally work on my MacBook, right? It's got more keyboard space. And I love where the backspace is, right? Like high pinky, high right pinky. You know what I'm talking about? Like, hey, hey, oh, typo. Yeah, hey, all right. No problem. Keep on rolling. High pinky. But because of all that tiny little stuff, I'm all crammed in here. I'm trying to work on my iPad. Now, my iPad's got this little mini keyboard. And to save space, they took some of the familiar buttons away so that we got this little bit. So not only am I cramped up, I got like little, I got fat fingers, y'all. And so I'm like trying to work on this little mini keyboard. And I go ahead and I high right pinky it like, hey, come on, delete that. And in the place of the backspace button, my iPad keyboard's got a delete button. Oh, that'll mess you up, right? Like, I'm in the flow with God. I'm like, oh, that's good. Yeah, typo. Come on. And next thing I look, I'm like, where all my notes go? I'm my best. They've all been deleted instead of backspaced. I deleted at least three further bullet points further down. If this message stinks this morning, it's because I deleted all the good stuff. I was so frustrated. I was like, you, darn you, mini keyboard. I'm just like, I found myself getting frustrated in the middle of preparing about frustrations because what I was expecting was not what I was getting. You erased all the good stuff. And so, see, when this difference happens, it causes emotional wreck every single time. Paul said this, where does this fighting and frustration come from? It's because you want your own way. We're all asking the question, why can't you do things my way? Do things my way, and it will work. See, what now? Can you imagine what this world would look like if we didn't focus on doing things our way, but we focused on doing things others' way? I think God had that figured out when he created the hope of the world, which is a relationship with Jesus Christ, because we are pulled out of selfish thought, self-centered thinking. I'm thinking about me. Why can't you understand me? Why can't you listen to me? Why can't you see my point of view? And we're pulled out of it. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we're pulled out of it to look at God-centered. How is he viewing this thing? And he pulls us out of it. Can you imagine how this whole world would look if everyone focused on someone other than themselves? There's two ways to a relationally better days. And if it comes about because our expectations are not lining up with our reality, then there's two things that we can look at in having relationally better days. Number one is this, to expect less. There are times in our relationships that we can't expect less. If you're the boss, I need you to do the project by the time that you said, and I need you to show up on time. I get it. There are times that we can't expect less, but if we're real with ourselves, there's a lot of times we'll get frustrated with people in our lives, and it's because we're expecting too much out of them. Have you ever had a moment where you just stopped and goes, what am I expecting right now? I'm expecting too much, and I need to expect less. See, I love what happened with John the Baptist. He's got one ministry, and his name and identity is surrounded with it. John the Baptist, what does he do? He baptizes people. He's John the Baptist. And then Jesus comes rolling around, and John the Baptist's disciples said, hey, you know that guy who you just met and you revered him like 2 days ago? He's taking your job. You've got no future in this thing because he's doing baptism too. And John said this. What if John said, I expect you to leave that to me. Stay in your lane, bro. Do you understand what I love about John in that moment? He had every opportunity to get frustrated, to get bothered, to get rattled, to get like, you're in my lane. You're doing my thing. I expected that to be mine. And here he comes, changing things. And John says this, he must increase and I must decrease. I wonder sometimes with our relationships if I must decrease doesn't mean my expectation of you must decrease. You getting it right 24/7 has got to decrease because you're human and I'm human too. Some of us think I make mistakes, but you're not allowed to make mistakes. Right? I've been there before, and we got to realize maybe my expectations have to lower. St. Francis of Assisi said, blessed is he who expects nothing, for he shall enjoy everything. James said, conflict keeps coming your way because you want your own way. Sometimes we need to focus less on my expectations and decrease the expectations so that people around us can get a win. Some of our expectations get so high that we start putting people on the God pedestal. And so there is no way for you to win because you'll never measure up. Your reality can never measure up. Number two is this. We can expect less or we can improve today. We can work to better our positions with others. Paul said this, those who actually get married, you will have struggle. And so I was meeting with a couple who's getting married. We've gone through 6 premarital sessions, and at the end of this February, I'm going to be marrying them, and it's so awesome. They're a couple. She was at our 8:30 experience, and this is what I told them. You've been working at it to prepare yourselves for each other, but guess what? You got to keep working at it the rest of your life. You got to continue working at it. And so sometimes it's not that my expectations have increased, it's that my reality has decreased. I'm coming home later and later from work. What else can I expect out of my other, right? I'm dropping the ball more and more. I'm focusing more and more on me. See, we've got to improve ourselves today, that maybe I got to read a book on relationships, sex, or common problems, or anger. Maybe I got to start being there early. Maybe I got to delete social media accounts that are feeding the wrong expectations and fantasies. Maybe I've got to speak compliments out loud and not keep them to myself. This is what Pastor Justin Daly said, and I love it. Most of us want to be something, but we don't want to go through the process of becoming something. We got to put some work into becoming something so that we can be something. The Bible even says that Jesus himself grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God, and he grew in favor with men. How? He focused not on his own way. He focused on helping people see the glory of God, but he had to get people to come to him by going to them and loving on them where they were at, and then people were drawn to him. It was a selfless life. It was a decreasing life. Now, I want to show you how this can win, and I want to share with you an example of this. This next testimony is from one of our dream teamers. I want to show you a video, and he'll admit on the video that he was not getting it right before he started his relationship. He had a bad relationship with Jesus and the church. He had a bad relationship with Jesus, with himself and Jesus. And he had a bad relationship with just everybody, he says at one point. And I want you to see the hope that when God gets in the middle of it, things begin to change. Check out this testimony.
I guess about 7 years ago, I started working for Tree Tech. And that's where I met Bobby and Brian, you know, the crew that was there at the time, and these guys are good Christian people, you know, so I was kind of like the misfit, you know. I was very much, let's just say rough around the edges. Not so much of a church person at all, you know, just, I didn't even look at it at all, to be honest. It had no interest whatsoever. Some years down the road, 6-7 years down the road, Brian says to me, he says, we're launching a new church, and he says, I want you to be there opening day. He says, you don't have to ever come back. So I made an empty promise. I made an empty promise that somehow come opening day, I fulfilled it anyway. I showed up that day, and you know, I sat through the service, sat through worship, and I decided, well, this isn't so bad. This isn't so bad at all. So I came back the next week, and the week after, and the week after, and some few months down, I was asked to join the dream team. About 2-3 weeks later, I was joining the dream team. I've been a part of this church now for a little over a year. And, well, it's probably the best move I've made in my life. I'll tell you, it's had a huge impact. And I say huge impact because I'll tell you, parts of where I came from, you know, being bullheaded, didn't really care about anybody else's thoughts, you know, really just didn't care about anybody. Not the way I should, you know. And I think for me, the biggest ones have been relationships with people in general. Even through relationships with, you know, significant others. I've always felt in a term that I can say, yeah, I love you. And I meant it, I did, but it was only through my human physical standards of love. The past year, it's been a world of difference. Now, I've been with my significant other now for almost 2 years. Well, yes, almost 2 years. All I've felt throughout this process is growth in that relationship. Comes to the point where it makes me want to do things that I never thought I'd do again. You know, I was once married. That relationship did not work out. It was a fumble, and I swore then I would never do it again. But again, with this walk, I've reconsidered everything I have ever said about it.
You want to talk at all about your experience with Freedom Group, and didn't you say that made a big difference?
Really did not expect the outcome. You know, I was with a group of people that were really, they're great people. And, you know, within that group, we learned more about each other than some of us knew about ourselves. There's a lot of laughs, a lot of tears, a lot of prayers. In a way, I can sit there and blame all of what I learned about relationships on that freedom group.
In one sentence, what do you want us to know now?
Well, that I'm extremely thankful that the Lord put the people he has in front of me to lead me back to him. Because it wouldn't have happened on my own. I'd have kept going about my ways. My life would still have been in shambles. My relationships would still have been empty. I am extremely thankful. Blessed is the word I need to use there. So how about I ask her right now, here in front of God and everyone else, Melissa, I want to ask you to be my wife.
Look at our God. Can he do that? Come on, somebody talk to me. Can he do that? Are we going to see a victory? Come on, are we going to see a victory? The battle is God's, and God has been moving in Henry's life. God's been moving in Melissa's life, and we are so blessed that we get to witness that. Come on, y'all, give it up for him one more time. Woo! Man, Melissa, about five of us been keeping that secret for about 2 weeks. You should have seen Terrence's face. We were recording that video, and he looks over. Is he going to do what? He said... Oh, congratulations to you too. I just want to affirm we've seen God moving in your life. This is a place that Henry said before the church, before Jesus, he was not going back here. And yet God has moved in his life. And he said, listen, God is doing a work inside of me. And it's fixing relationships as I fix my relationship with him. It's fixing my relationships with others. Come on. I just want to pray over everybody in this place right now. Come on, some of y'all still want to celebrate because this is so good. God, you are the giver of